reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in yours? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Yesterday, on the Solemnity of the Holy Trinity, we talked about how we are made in God's image and likeness, and that we're called to live in that image and likeness. When we look at the Trinity, it's a communion of persons in love, which Father gives everything he is over to the Son, except what it means to be a father. And the Son gives everything over of what it means to be a son to his Father, except what it means to be a son. And that we're called to live in that communion of persons by total self-giving, first to God and then to others. And that self-giving we give to God, which is the first act of a Christian, flows from faith. Today, in the first reading from the book of Genesis, we see what that faith looks like in the figure Jews, Muslims, and Christians have always called our Father in faith. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Turn your back," in other words, "on all you know." And he didn't say, "I'm going to be leading you to a mansion in Newport, Rhode Island with a beautiful beachfront view." He said, "Go to the land I will show you." For all Abram knew, it could have been a pigsty in the back of a ghetto. But Abraham, with great faith, knowing what the Lord was going to give him, responded with faith, packed everything up, and on he went. We would see what the Lord would do with Abraham over the course of time. Progressively, choice by choice, he was helping Abraham to grow capable of this total self-gift. This was the first one. Then the next one would be, you see all those Canaanites out there? They're not just going to hand you over the title to this land. You're going to have to fight for it. Even though he was an AARP member by this point, he would have to lead that charge. Then he would have to trust that his wife, who was much older, would conceive a son. And he believed again, leaving what he knew behind and trusting in the Lord, giving of himself over to the Lord. And then supremely, after Isaac had been born when he was 13, Abraham would be willing to sacrifice even his own son of the promise, the son through whom Abraham up until that point believed would be the vehicle through whom he would become the father of many nations. If the Lord was asking him to sacrifice even his own son, he would do it. Because as we discussed yesterday, for us to grow in the image and likeness of God, God must come first in liturgy and in life. We must prioritize God above everything else in faith. That type of progressive growth into the image of God through the Lord's giving us opportunities to grow in faith is the proper context to understand what Jesus is doing in today's gospel. In order for us to carry out the Sermon on the Mount as a whole, but this passage in particular, we need that type of faith, that type of trust in the Lord, to leave what we think we know and go to what the Lord wants to teach us. Starts off by saying, stop judging and you won't be judged, because we'll be judged as we are judged. Then he moves straight on to that image of the splinter in the wooden beam. So many Christians have falsely understood this passage. And the devil tries to use it for manipulative purposes all the time. We will hear, for example, from those who are totally ensconced in their sin, "Don't you judge my actions. You hypocrite! You hypocrite! Don't you judge my actions! I should be able to do whatever I want, and you're the bad Christian if you start saying that this is that what I am doing is somehow wrong." The fathers of the church, when they interpret this passage, say that the Lord wants us to look at these circumstances precisely with faith. St. John Chrysostom says, the first thing we need to do when we see a brother sinning is that we need to recognize that we have been forgiven far greater debts. He calls up that very powerful but oft forgotten parable of the man who owed 10,000 talents, and a talent is 1,000 days' wages. So 10 million days' wages, an unpayable debt, and he was forgiven. And then he went out and someone owed him something, and he refused to forgive, even though he was made so much more wealthy by his having been forgiven himself. That when we look at someone else's sins, we need to do it within the context of the faith of how much we've been forgiven, how weak we are. Because then we're going to be able to look on with compassion rather than with judgmentalism. St. John Chrysostom says we're able to look as a doctor who wants to help our brother or sister who's erring, rather than as an enemy, rather than as a lording over judge, to see these things with the eyes of faith. So, at a very practical level, St. Augustine says, how do we remove the logs from our own eyes? How are we going to be able, out of charity, rather than out of a desire to sort of prop ourselves up by stepping on someone who might be lower, how are we able to actually do that, carry out this mission? To help people be cured of their blindness. Those splinters right in their eyes. And splinters in eyes are bad things. We want to help those with splinters in their eyes. How do we do it? Not just with this vision of how much we've been forgiven, but also with the practice of being forgiven. That we regularly go to the eye doctor, Jesus in the sacrament of confession. We say we've got logs in our eyes and we need them removed. He does that surgery so that we can see clearly and precisely to help do that delicate surgery of taking out just a little splinter in our brother's or our sister's eye. And we do it with a different motivation, the motivation of a compassionate, loving doctor who wants to help that brother or sister see clearly and see with the eyes of faith. As we come forward to Mass today, we remember that blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. He has chosen us to be his own. He wants to take out all our logs. He wants to make us capable of that faith like Abraham. But we recognize that every time we go to that sacrament, it's an act of faith just like Abraham's. That we need to leave behind our own self-righteousness, are saying that our stuff isn't that bad compared to everything else. And we go to a place perhaps we might not want to go. The Lord doesn't really show us the end every time we go into that beautiful sacrament. But we go there trusting as the Lord continues to walk with us step by step so that we and our faith might become the foundation for many nations to build on.